Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Ben from Rusty Quill here. This is just to explain that we recorded this over a year ago, but due to asbestos goblins, it dropped out of the schedule. We'd like to thank Sean for his patience and are delighted to be able to finally air this one shot. We hope you enjoy the episode.
And welcome to a special episode of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
And Meredith.
Lydia Nicholas.
And...
Sean Smith.
Hello, Sean.
Hello, Sean.
Hello, folks.
So, today we're doing things a little bit differently. We're playing from a completely different system. And we have a new guest GM, so I get to play.
Yay!
It's me, surprisingly.
Yeah. So, with that in mind, Sean, tell us a bit about yourself.
So, I'm Sean Smith. I'm a mind reader, a magician, and a hypnotist. But alongside that, I'm also a games designer.
That's a terrifying combination.
He doesn't actually design games. He just hypnotises people. And then afterwards, they were like, that was really good.
You think I've designed a game, although in this case, I've decided that it's probably safer, largely for the sanity of most of our listeners, to play something that people can go and buy off of a shelf, which is why we're playing Trail of Cthulhu today, which is made by Kenneth Haidt and is a change on Robin D. Laws's Gumshoe system,
okay,
which is primarily an investigative game, which essentially is meant to address the issue that in most mysteries there will be two or three core clues that unless the players spot this, there is no story.
Yeah,
and so it flips the entire production on its head and assumes that, well, if any given clue exists, the players must get it.
Okay.
And so instead of rolling to see if you find the clue, which happens in quite a lot of the systems, instead you just happen to have the clue if you're sufficiently trained.
Okay.
And then it splits it this way. We're playing an adventure that I've written that's based around the King in Yellow. But we are using the rules as written in the book itself. So we're playing pulp mode. I've made slightly harsher characters because we're only expecting this for a single session rather than over a longer time.
So you've prepped us to die horribly.
Some of us will die.
All of us?
Yes.
You only die if you actually engage in the campaign and don't go home and just think, oh, that was strange.
Is this going to be another horror session where I go back to bed?
Oh, punishing activity. That's what I do.
There are, interestingly, rules within the game that essentially force you to say, your character should do this, and you can choose to roll against it to see if you won't, and if you do, it'll be damaging to your psyche. Oh, it's just so tempting.
Okay, so it is a dice rolling system.
Yep.
What dice are we using?
So it uses a single D6. A lot of people, when they're familiar with Cthulhu gaming, know Call of Cthulhu, which uses 100-sided dice.
I have played the D100 Call of Cthulhu. It was a slow descent into madness.
for the players or the...
Both.
Just
everything about the game.
Just to speed things along, we have all been given pre-generated characters today. We got to pick which ones we had, but can you give us a broad strokes... description of what we're looking at right now, which is our character sheet, and how that interacts with the system, and then we'll go on, talk about the characters, and I think we're good to start.
Excellent. So we've got two sets of skills, and so on one side you've got your investigative skills, and these essentially are your mystery clue points. So if you're ever trained in something, then you will be able to pick up the clue from that. So for instance, credit rating is one of the skills it's got, which generally determines how wealthy and rich you are, and allows you to spend points from this point as well to be able to actually boost things forwards.
The first thing that James does is keep up with the Joneses by checking what we've all got.
We've all got the same amount of money.
Apart from Alex's character, who has very slightly more.
Because I'm better. And that's how money works.
But in this case, each number does essentially represent like a tier in society. Now, your investigative skills will always stay on. You have a number of points in each of these different sections. If you want to gain a clue related to a point, you can spend one from your pool, and then that will build up if there's something else. So if you have medicine, for instance, as a skill, you can spend a medicine point and you'll learn something about the mystery linked into exactly what you want. The other set of abilities you've got are your general abilities. So these are things like athletics, fleeing, which is its own skill. In fact, it's cheaper to buy points in fleeing if you're not athletic.
Can I max min? Can I boost fleeing to 100% at the cost of everything else?
You can.
I feel like a character whose exclusive skill is fleeing would get really hated really quickly.
Yeah, but unfortunately probably flee from one thing into something infinitely worse. And your general abilities do refresh slightly more quickly, but again, it's at narrative fresh points. Those general points work slightly differently. So you'll have higher numbers. Again, you've still got a pool that you can tick off the things, and that adds to the actual dice roll that you're about to make. Mm-hmm. So we've got a single d6. Most target numbers will be around about 4. The harder things get, the higher up they go, up to 8. So if you can roll an 8 on a 6-sided dice,
then you're already gone into the realms of madness.
Exactly.
So I'm looking at the sheet and I'm seeing some last things, which are health, stability, and sanity. I feel like these are some core things that are probably going to be really important.
Yes. So your health essentially is your physical attributes. This is what's going to get damaged if you get attacked. Similar sorts of things to hit points and a number of systems. But rather than most games where you die at 0, these pools can go into the negative.
Okay.
So if you have -3 health, for instance, you need to be able to pass a 3-point check on every turn not to pass out. Okay. The same can happen with your stability. Now, you've got two stats which essentially govern your mental well-being. Your sanity is your ultimate connection to humanity, the ability to get on constantly. If that goes to 0, there's no hope. Your stability is your day-to-day, your sense of things. So if, for instance, if you take a shot of whiskey, you'll probably like steal yourself a little bit. And it's that kind of day-to-day thing that kind of goes down. That is going to be attacked a fair amount alongside your health as well.
I'm not sure I like the logical extension that alcoholism makes you the most sane, stable person possible.
I am incredibly stable. Shh.
You don't know.
No, you've seen a nameless horror.
I dream to forget the things I've seen.
Yeah.
Exactly. So as long as it's a dependency, that might trigger off if, again, it gets too low.
Okay.
But for the most part, these are going to fluctuate. And you do have skills such as first aid and psychoanalysis, which allows you to bolster these again as and when it goes through.
Okay, in which case, I think it's worth meeting our characters for today. So would you care to do the honours first?
Oh, I'm Muriel Cheadleham. I'm an artist. and I'm in oils. I do oil painting. And I'd like to introduce also my brother Herbie.
It's Herbert.
Herbie.
Professor Herbert Cheadlehume, Professor of Entomology. Pleased to meet you.
I've introduced my brother sufficiently, I think. Well done, Herbie, well done.
Thank you.
Johnson, David Johnson. I'm a correspondent for the Washington Post.
Ooh. I'm Police Inspector John Poppins of the Special Branch. Pleased to meet you. I'm Duffy McCap. You can't really tell that on the tape.
Dr. Julian Blake, Doctor at Large. I'm a doctor, but I'm not large. That's a little joke I made.
Doctor and pickup artist.
No point. Alex
is going to die first. Yeah.
The vagaries of the system
he
may allow that.
He starts negging Cthulhu.
I really like your tentacles, but I've seen better.
When in doubt, pick the most unlikable character possible.
Now, for this to play out scenario, right, you all would have known each other from your youth.
Well, I suppose that maybe you were the police officer that did the street on which me and Herbie...
Oh, could have been an humble beat policeman.
Yeah.
A lovable cockney policeman who's doing the rounds, offering small toffees to the children.
Yes.
There we are, all right. So I'm appreciably older than you are, am I?
Yes, I suppose so, yes.
So I'm...
good 10 years. 10 years older,
see? Oh, must be... Oh, fair enough, all right.
You're in our mid-20s, you're in your mid-30s.
So I would have been... Oh, crikey.
Or all right. 40s, 50s.
180
years old. I'm a lot of eels. That's what keeps you going.
Squamous thing in and of itself.
I think I'm gonna be 40 years old. 40 years old. I've decided. Yes. A bit grizzled, a bit rough around the edges.
And how do we know Bryn?
Oh,
Come on, Bryn, this is your problem.
We can't be kind of...
Come on, David
perfectly,
Johnson.
Perfectly possible that there is an American branch of the Chidlium family, and young David Johnson was over there.
Distant cousin.
You were engaged to a cousin of ours. Engaged to a cousin of ours.
What, from childhood? You're, in the 1940s, not the 1740s.
You're thinking of my brother, ma'am. He was indeed engaged to a member of the Chidlehumes, yes.
Oh, so you're betrothed-in-law.
Oh, no, maybe they then married and then both died horribly in a tentacle accident.
He died in the war, ma'am. He was a hero.
Ah.
So a rather large bullet accident.
Bullet accident.
And last but not least, me. I'd like to say that I struck up a friendship with the Chidlehume family. I think Bryn
physically shudder.
The voice makes me want to just take a shower.
Are you, like, why couldn't you
school together?
I'd like to say I was a bad influence on you.
Nope.
I said I'd like to, not that I was.
Oh, right, fair enough.
Really valued my opinions.
His family were in the colonies, so he often, over the holidays, stayed with us.
Julie, yes.
Julie.
My old school friend, Julie.
Jules.
No, Julie.
Julie.
Classic Herbert.
This is the 40s.
Classic Herbert.
Oh, yes.
Herbert and Julie used to get into such trouble. They did. Like two. It was like having two younger brothers. They were such trouble. Such trouble. Julie and Herbie, I used to say,
so,
stop doing that.
Which also means that I'm...
Then I would tell Mama and Papa that they'd been stealing cookies and I would...
Mama and Papa, surely.
No, Mama and
Biscuits.
Papa.
Oh, yeah. So, moving on. We have characters. What next?
So, which school was it that you did go to?
St. Vicious's School.
St. Vicious's School.
For terrible children.
No, for terribly privileged children.
St. Vicious's.
St. Vicious's, yes. Little known saint.
like the dance, but angrier.
Mentioned in the Apocrypha.
No. Awake for St. Vicious's School for the criminally insane. Okay, right. So, St. Vicious's.
It's run by the criminally insane. At least according to its governing body.
So, I guess we shared an education at St. Vicious's School.
St. Vicious's School?
I never learned how to say it. They didn't school me well.
But they did school you viciously.
So many beatings. Julian Herbie used to come back screaming with pain.
There is someone that you knew from this time.
Okay.
That you've since... You've fallen out of touch with.
But this person has suddenly said, yes, I'm doing a play. You really must come. I've got some tickets put aside for you. Who is this person that we're here to meet?
The cousin
of the...
They've been lying low. She'd have remained a Chidlehume.
Jemima.
Jemima Chidlehume.
Jemima Chidlehume.
Jemmy.
She died.
Jemmy.
She died before they were ever married.
Oh. Wait,
can I make the suggestion that...
He died.
Can I make the suggestion that instead of Jemima, it's abbreviated to Jemimi.
Jemimi?
Jemimi.
Jemimi
Chidlehume. I will call her Jemima till the day I die, sir.
So we have our cousin Jemima.
Jemimi.
Old Jemimi.
Mimi. Oh, yes.
Miss Jemima.
Yes, Mimi.
Mimi. Mim. Me. Just call him me.
Yes.
Mimi. Come over here.
Julian Herbie, you wouldn't have known her so well. She was a dear friend of mine, a little older than me, and I used to admire her so. And you were always running off and being in such trouble.
Adventures. They were adventures.
But she went to ground after that terrible business at the war.
Terrible
and
business.
And has just surfaced offering us to come to her play. I'm very interested.
Lovely.
Indeed.
Lovely.
In fact, you've not heard from her at all.
She was almost off the Christmas card list.
Gosh. Oh.
And suddenly the fact that she returns in London, no less, and invites you to her play is of particular interest. Now, in order to get there, you must first meet, essentially, in the pub beneath which the theatre runs, a place in Camden, which is fairly popular. There's been a little bit of interest in the theatre. She's not said exactly what play it is.
I hope it's a Shakespeare. Yeah. I like them. I like particularly the comedies, because, of course, I like the Victorian revivals where they all have happy endings.
Oh, knowing Jemmy, it'll be something highbrow.
Oh, yes.
As much as she said, it's like, oh, you probably won't have heard of it. It's an English translation of...
My God, she's a hipster!
Don't you? And so invites you to meet her at the Old Deer, the pub.
So we've all found ourselves inside this pub.
Yeah, well, three of you will be there first.
I suppose the three of us that chat all the time. Herbie and Julie.
Yes.
It would make
Herbie and Julie.
Classic.
Herbie and Julian. And Muriel.
Muriel. You've always been a Muriel. You're always going to be a Muriel.
Mew Mew.
Mew Mew.
Mew Mew. It's got to be Mew Mew. It's got to be Mew Mew.
Anyway, get this down, you. Two sherries, as always.
Oh, it was always a little bit strong for me, but fine.
Oh, Herbie, with your pathetically low health score.
I think I'm going to do terribly well in this campaign.
Good sanity, though.
Yeah, as well. I'll learn lots of magics.
I have to say,
lots of things.
I'm finding myself more than a little bit surprised to get a contact from Jemmy. It's been a while.
I thought she was probably dead.
That's always you, Herbert. You're so dramatic.
When you don't receive a Christmas card for five Christmases running, you'll probably feel fairly safe discussing things in such a way, even if you're having to be reminded that, yes, you are in public. The pub itself is fairly empty. I can't really pick the right words to describe the man who sat with two empty Guinnesses in front of him.
How very Lovecraftian of you.
indeed. With two empty Guinnesses in front of him and another one which is at an unspecified point at this bar, but he seems to be drinking these fairly quickly and mostly grumbling to himself. There are two people behind the bar. We seem to have the bar manager and a fairly young barmaid who appears to have just been working here for the first point. And also at the far end of the bar, there's a gaggle of people who appear to be quite drunk and a little bit laddish, but they're quite self-contained.
They sound great.
So it's
definitely your kind of people, Julie.
I could bring them over. I mean, honestly, it's no trouble.
Your kind of people, not our kind of people.
Oh, classic Herbert.
Unless you, Mew Mew.
I think I'm fine with just my two little younger brother friends. Yes, Julie and Herbie. So wonderful to have friends.
And it's at this point that there's a great crash of shattering glass from behind the bar. And a great cheer goes up from the corner of the room until it's shot down by the shot down by a glare from the barman. And then the pub kind of settles into a strange semi-silence. And it's into this silence that the door opens and we have our remaining two enter the fold.
What's all this commotion? Is there commotion here? I heard there was commotion. Is there commotion? Any problem? You, lads in the corner. You, sit down. Shut it. Right. Come on, you!
Herbie, look, it's Poppins!
Oh, Poppins! Oh, hello!
You know, Inspector, I sometimes think you enjoy that entirely too much.
Shut it, you slag! You're right, I do. I miss it, you know. If I'm out detecting all day, looking for crime, it's not quite the same. It's just going up to other young working class companies and hitting them over the head with sticks.
Come on, Detective, reason. What's your poison? I'll get around in.
Come on, I'll have a whiskey.
Anyone else?
Another sherry.
Maybe two sherries for me.
I'll also have a whiskey, but make sure it's a good one. I appreciate it. Thank you. Next one's on me.
Do any of you wish to make a sense trouble roll?
Yes, always.
So again, the way that this rolls, you've got a target number, which you should aim for. If you wish to spend any point from your sense trouble stat, you may do so before you roll.
Could I spend my credit rating to better sense trouble?
You could probably spend your credit rating to find, like, eventually hire a butler who might be able to sense trouble for you.
Very paranoid butler.
This is my butler. I still don't know his name.
I will not be sensing trouble, but I will be buying two whiskies, two sherries, and a water.
I'm going to roll my sense trouble roll.
Are you going to spend any points before you do so?
No, I'm not. I'm sure.
We shall see.
One! No.
I also sense trouble, and I will spend.
I don't sense trouble. I am trouble.
Excellent.
I'm Julie.
Sexy trouble.
Five.
Five, fantastic. Yay. So, as you're waiting on your drinks, you spot the man who sat with many, many now empty Guinness glasses in front of him. Muriel notices more, noticing the environment around.
Because I'm an artist, I have an eye for these things.
And through one of the window panes behind him,
there's
something that kind of feels very odd. You believe it actually to be a painting to start with, and then realise actually it's in the middle of the wall. It's in the middle of the window, and through that point you can see some phenomenal colours, absolutely fantastic. A very strange cityscape, made particularly strange by the fact that within there you can kind of just see the edges of a pair of suns.
Oh, really? Yeah.
No.
Nah. That's my favourite joke.
So nearly.
It's a strange optical illusion that I'm seeing there. How very troubling. I wonder if I could art that.
If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. You can't just buy any old glasses. We need to get you something a bit more appropriate for you. I mean,
really, I think one day there'll be a word for this. It might be mansplaining glasses. I couldn't possibly guess.
I've got the drinks, your lordship, lady.
Thank you very
much. Doctor, inspector.
Thank you very much.
In relation to your strange looks across the bar, the particularly fighty man sat in front of the window does glare over in your direction and ask, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at the window behind you. There's a wonderful, wonderful view over the city.
This is my part of the pub. You don't go staring at me like that.
Hang on a minute, excuse me. Sir, now, are you in the process of being rude to a lady.
Now calm down. We can all just sit down and have a great
now,
drink.
Now, steady, steady. One moment. Now, if there's anything that recent British history has taught us, is that if an English person wishes to take some space previously occupied by an Irish person, it is entirely within their rights to do so.
Oh, God.
And a seat.
And his response to this, he seems to be mulling this over for a brief moment.
I step up to stand next to you.
The mull itself turns more into a bawling fist, which he does swing straight at your face.
I'm wondering if I should sense trouble at this point.
There may be trouble. So
there is music.
There are many of them. So he does swing a fairly meaty fist in your general direction, for which we need to hit a 4 for you because of your high athletic score. Most people will have a target number of 3. Hasn't spent anything on account of this, and swings and widely misses. Utterly terribly.
Can I take the opportunity to get my whiskey and dash it in the man's face?
You may. What effect are you attempting to achieve?
To blind the gentleman so that our good friend the detective inspector here can make sure to accost the villain.
I would consider that to be an attack.
Okay.
You do have scuffling, which would be what you would spend on attacks if you wish to.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to because I don't mind if it doesn't work. I just like being involved.
I'm helping.
It's a rumble.
And you do splash the whiskey and feel fairly sad for having done so on account of the fact that it was, as you asked, a very good whiskey. In fact, the guy behind the bar opened a new bottle specifically for you, having noticed your demeanour as you
You're
came
a monster.
In.
Sorry about that.
Spill that good whiskey.
Are you aware, sir, that attempted assault an officer of the law is a criminal offence?
I'm going to try and grab him and hold him.
Yep.
Because I wrestled in college.
Fantastic. And again, you'll be doing the same. So it'd be scuffling if you wish to.
I spent a point of scuffling. I do have 9 of them.
Indeed.
I told you I wrestled in college.
Wow, you are, dodgy.
Scuffly. A 6
nice,
total.
A nice fighty one. Okay, so you managed to grab him, and also, on account of the grabbing, you can then also be dealing damage to him as well. Now, the damage, especially if you come from...
I don't want to deal damage, I just want to hold him still if I can.
Yeah. Yeah, that works as well. I might as well raise it at this point on the first actually successful attack has occurred.
That's not how we roll here.
Successfully, it's not what happens.
We do not roll successfully.
A lot of systems that people might be familiar with for most role-playing games involve nice handfuls of dice and very large numbers. Again, using just a single d6 at this point, most scores start with -1 to damage, and if you roll a 0, you deal no damage. And it's at this point that there's a great crash of shattering glass on top of the barman, and a big cheer goes up in the corner until it's shot down by a glare from the barman. And into this silence, your two other companions open the door and step into the room.
Do we realise anything in character?
It's weird.
We've already said hello to them. So
you've succeeded.
No.
Sean is doing a thing.
Oh,
he's doing a thing.
A diegetic spruik.
Right. Oh, all right.
This does require all of you to make a stability check.
Yeah, it does.
Now, again, the stability checks work the same way all of the other checks do. Again, it's going to be 4 for this. If you wish to spend any points, you may do so.
I will spend all of my money to stay completely stable. I'll just stand there smearing it on my face.
It does, unfortunately, have to be the same value for which you're spending, so it does have to be a point. It's stability points to spend for this, if you wish to boost them. You won't lose more than you've done.
Oh, dear.
What was the threshold?
So the threshold is a 4.
I got a 4!
I got a 4.
I got a 6.
We have a 6.
And we're all spooked.
So now your stability, you each take essentially 2 damage to your stability, so your score itself drops down by 2.
I do get a creeping feeling, Julie. I do. Pretty much every time you're in the room. Yes.
You're not the first person who says that. I'm just having one of those days.
I yelp and drop my glass of the sherry I was just about to drink.
Well,
One more question.
I look at the inspector. The people who made the stability roll also aware of this bizarre?
Yes, you get the impression, but you're able to hunker it down.
Okay.
And kind Golly, that was weird. Let's keep going.
Hang on a minute. What?
What just happened?
This is rapidly turning into a great night. That's what happened, my friend.
What?
Did you
drug me?
Oh,
that
I haven't done that in years.
Took a swing at you and I...
Julie,
I grabbed him.
I remember it perfectly. And now, here we are, and now he's over there.
You were...
You dropped
I'll
your
go
drink,
over to the Irish chap. Excuse me.
What?
Did you just start a fight?
So I'm about to start a fight if you don't get out of my space.
Oh, no, sorry. Would you like a drink?
Aye.
What would you like? Go and say...
He stares at you in such a...
A Guinness?
Offer him a sherry.
No.
I'll run away and go buy a Guinness.
He looks at you a little bit funnily, but the fact that you've immediately offered to buy him a drink is quite a positive thing in this case.
David, John, take a seat.
What's your best scotch?
Best scotch? We've got the Lagavulin.
Is that bottle open or?
Well, no, we just bought it in this week.
It's definitely the thing I just ordered for yourself and Julian.
Is the money still in your wallet?
Yes, it is.
Well, I feel like there's a way I can exploit this situation for a great night for everyone.
Are you not freaked out by this, Julian? How are you coping with this so well?
The number of nights I've had where I can barely remember what happens. Frankly, remembering extra things is a new and novel experience for me.
3 glasses of scotch, 2 of sherry, please, sir.
I can make that a scotch, please.
And I'll touch
4 scotches and a sherry.
I'd like a scotch as well.
5 shots.
From across the bar. I'll have an extra one, actually.
5 shots of the best scotch you've got, please, sir.
The guy kind of looks at you and then sees the fact that like the bristling money in your wallet and is willing to uncork the fantastic peaty aroma that kind of sets aside a little bit of the strange suet scent that's kind of like seeped into all of the
evil suet.
I take the 5 scotches back to the table and hand them out.
The second that it's here, I immediately get started, because if that's going to happen again, I want to make sure I've got this one in me first.
That was extremely strange.
And it's at this point that we hear the call saying that the box office is now open.
And I think we'll take a break there, and we'll come back in a couple of minutes.
Hi everyone, it's just to let you know that we've relaunched our website. If you head to www.rustyquill.com, you'll see everything has been upgraded a bit, including a shiny new player allowing you to listen to the show in your browser more easily than ever. We've also launched our YouTube channel, so be sure to follow the videos link in the website header and subscribe. We've got lots of exciting plans for it, so watch this space.
And welcome back. Time for some theatre.
I do love the theatre. I think it might steady my nerves a bit after that odd thing.
I still maintain I should have had the lead.
I still maintain you probably drugged me.
Do enjoy a bit of culture, and so nice to be out and about with the young people.
It's been a long time no see as well, and you're all away from America.
It's been a while. Well, I've been here for the last 3 years. I was covering some of the war.
Oh, I've been very busy. I'm so sorry.
It's fine. I didn't want to think about Jemima until I got her message. It's been very difficult back home.
Oh, yes. Of course.
Sorry about your brother.
Thank you.
Well done, Mumu.
Yeah. And, of course, now young Mr. Johnson is writing a story about me and the operations.
Oh, really?
The
recovery work.
The recovery work, that's right.
Is this at the special branch?
The special, special branch.
The extra special branch.
Which I can't tell you about, but I can tell him about.
If I could some painting, you know, of some of the special things that you see.
I'm not sure you'd want to. We've had one of the members of special branch in the clinic recently, and let me tell you, you wouldn't want to be painting a picture of that.
Huh. I want to paint a picture of Julie.
Mostly Robbins, young Miss Cheever, you really wouldn't want to. Like, you've got some low foreheads, you know, scowls.
Oh, does the light hit them well from...
Facial scarring.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that would be so interesting to do in oils.
Other teeth, other places.
Oils.
Oily.
Oils of the teeth. Oh, well, that itself is an interesting texture to try and recreate on the canvas.
Well, as fascinating as art is, I feel like we're going to miss the show at this rate.
Oh, yes, we don't want to miss the show.
Keep our eyes peeled, Inspector. Something strange is going on.
Yeah.
Can I sense trouble at this point, or something similar?
You can.
Because I'm now wary as...
Sense clear evil!
I will also attempt to sense trouble, I think.
Okay, again, you get the chance to spend points if so you wish beforehand.
I will spend a point.
I'm not going to spend any.
You're told where the trouble is by your editor.
6 + 1 = 7.
The policeman, good at sensing trouble. The times we live in.
Yeah.
So you're looking for the human element here, and you're kind of, as subtly as you possibly can, trying to look at this Irish gentleman to see exactly how he's behaving and if that's again going to be the source of his trouble. But simultaneously, this is the point where you're looking in the same direction and you also spot one of the window panes is clearly showing a different view.
Is it a human-looking landscape?
No. Well, it's a city.
Right.
You gain the impression solidly that this is definitely a city.
Can yeah. I use my architecture thing to get a clue?
Can yeah. you still yeah. see it, Lid?
I did say, oh gosh, there's an odd
yeah.
view out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hang on. So, one second, young ladies and gentlemen. Oh, there's a very peculiar pane in that window. It looks like an unusual painting of some kind. What's... Is anybody else seeing that as well?
Yes, I spotted that before, just before the weird, strange airwing going out and in again.
Am I the only one who's worrying about missing Jemmy's show?
Yes.
They only just opened the box office. They haven't rang the bell yet.
You notice from the architecture that it's innately inhuman.
I'm skilled in inhuman architecture. I've been reading a lot of old travel stories. All the imagined cities.
I was going to say, isn't most architecture inhuman because it's not made out of humans?
Well, no, Herbie, no. Oh. Most of it's made by humans. Oh. But many people have invented cities. Cities on the moon, cities in countries that haven't been explored yet, all sorts of
experiments. Cities on the moon? Really?
Speaking of, did you know that ants build bridges out of themselves?
God, yes.
Herbert, I'm sure no one's
the rest of us see this when it's pointed out to us. Or
yes.
We can see the...
Yes, yeah, you see the strangeness of it. It does, however, remind you of like a linograph made from a story called The King in Yellow. Mm-hmm. Which is all set on a strange, wondrous other world. It's a weird Venetian-style place with peculiar canals running through it.
Peculiar canals, Herbie.
Wait, what about peculiar canals?
I'm describing the...
Oh.
So that, look.
So we can now see it? Or
yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. You can all see it.
Oh, yeah, at this point I'm going to deign to look. Oh.
Is that all just painted?
Oh, I'm sorry. No,
well, I mean, if it is, it's done in a very interesting style, because as you see, as you move your head...
And even you do also notice the fact that the light is coming through that window in a slightly different way.
Oh, also, you can see the light is coming through the window in a slightly different way.
Inspector John Poppins has not had much struck with art, but he's going to, as such, he's going to reach out and attempt to touch the painting in inverted commas.
It's glass.
This
isn't one of those awful plays they do, like immersive theatre. This is one of those things.
Oh.
Especially when they ask you to play a certain character, and it's just so very tedious.
Oh, come on now. Like, who's going to really go in for that kind of
thing? I know, and they expect them to have an audience. It's really not the kind of thing you
John Poppins goes to the window and attempts to open the window.
It's painted shut, so none of these panes are movable open ones. Okay. There is a tinny little bell that is rang, summoning you to get to the
bell. Ladies, gentlemen, I feel like I have a solution to this. I stride over without, unilaterally, pull out a hanky, and just try to carefully block out the optical illusion with a hanky, and assuming that nothing kills me in the meantime, I'll then head back. I feel like we can leave this mystery for another day.
Very well, let's see the show.
The woman who is manning the box office is very, very tall, very, very thin, with a particularly thin nose, and looks down its entire length at you.
Oh...
Yes.
Oh, are you Jemima's?
We're her guests.
Consort?
Yes, that's the one.
She's our cousin.
Yeah.
Not all of us. That'd be weird.
I suppose I should mark you off.
And she ticks five times on a list. Now what you can also see is that there are a number of ticks up above beforehand. And you didn't really see many people going up into the theatre beforehand. You particularly didn't notice the fact that the group of lads, as such, are no longer in the pub, so potentially might be up above. But there look to be probably about a dozen people, including yourselves, that will be up in the theatre.
Selling well for a fringe show, then.
So,
well, I'm glad. I mean, she really needs that kind of attention. I think she is a star. She really is.
So you managed to get past this lady with the fact that she doesn't really move out of the way for you.
Sorry, awfully, no.
Stand aside in the name of the law? No? All right, well, I'm just going to rub past you then, won't I? Well,
very well.
All right.
And she ever so slightly moves the chair that she sat on. And it doesn't really seem to produce much, but she's clearly acted according to your wishes, so of course you'll have to edge past.
Well, as fun as this is, I'm just going to barge past. Not deliberately trying to push her over, I just don't care.
Yeah.
Not even slightly.
She kind of rocks a little bit on the chair, and actually you see a little bit of her facade breaks so as she kind of has to steady herself against the wall. But very much the face kind of drops back into a, I am aloof.
Onwards into the great unknown, come on.
And the stairs themselves kind of seem to curl up in on themselves and rotate up and round. There's minor landings at various different points with a load of paintings on the wall, kind of like quite garish looking posters for things with names like Blythe Spirit and stuff like that. And then eventually you just get to the part where two curtains are drawn and you're led into an auditorium. The seating itself is fairly raked. The bars on which you can sit, almost like pews in a church sort of thing without the prayer mats. And as entering the theatre, you see on the stage there's the interior of a mausoleum, and someone is clearly grieving at the foot of a large sarcophagus. There's an actress there that you slightly recognise. You swear it's someone. Cowan was her name, Ella Cowan. You've probably been at a party where she's been there before.
Well, this is all a bit morbid, isn't it?
She's quite avant-garde.
Oh, Ellie, it's Ellie. Oh. Ellie, you remember Ellie from the party?
Yes.
Two Christmases past.
Yes.
Yes.
Too drunk on sherry at Sharon and fell out of stairs.
Yes, but she was very interesting. Classic. She talked about art at length beforehand.
Yes, well.
It's extraordinary stuff. She's a brilliant woman.
This might be one of the ones where we just sit down and they just begin. There's no curtains or anything.
So. Oh, I don't know these absence of curtains. Like, it's not the theatre. If you haven't got a proper curtain, that's what I go to the theatre for.
That and the ice cream.
Curtain. That and the ice cream. Drinks on sticks. That's it, thanks. That's what I like. Closest thing you get to the circus, really. That's what I want.
David, come and sit down with us.
How are you going to choose to sit? Half of the space essentially is taken up. You could sit nearer the back, nearer the front.
I will make an effort to lead everyone front and centre as much as possible. I'm not saying I'll win, but that's certainly my instinct.
I won't resist
to
that.
I will follow everyone else, but I'm going to trail at the back so I happen to end up sitting next to the aisle.
I'm also training in the back and trying to sit as near the aisle as possible. We had a minor scuffle. No after you, no after you, no after you, no after you.
There's a point where I'm trying to trail back to be as far from Julie as possible.
I just stoically stare at you until you give in.
You come sit by me.
Yes.
One of the lads from downstairs turns round and kind of politely coughs at you whilst realising that you're delaying the start of this play.
I raise an eyebrow quizzically.
I just smile and just rustle my programme and continue to read it in anticipation.
The title of it, of course, is blazoned quite across the front, is The King in Yellow, a play of two acts.
Sounds positively delightful.
Which again...
Oh, I recognise this. So the architect from downstairs, the extraordinary painting that I don't understand how they made it look so lifelike, that was also from a story named The King in Yellow.
So this is going to be one of those immersive theatre things. I hope they don't make us run around.
No, not another one of those promenades.
So we take the seat, and the play unfolds into life, almost like it had been crystallised and is slowly starting to actually like shed this crystal state. And the voice, and it's the voice that you recognise in the sense that a lot of the time you can tell when someone you know is putting on a voice, that you know it's them, but you can't directly hear exactly that it is. And you hear this voice and you hear quite a beautiful song, and the woman sat at the base of the sarcophagus is singing the song about the dead king in front of her. And she's talking about the city-state around, the location of Carcosa. It talks about its twin sons, talks about all of these things that seemingly we saw through the window. And there's a really strange, creeping sense of oddness in this. And as this goes through, some strange stuff's going to be happening in the theatre itself. And I'd like all of you to roll the dice for this sequentially. You don't need to do it now. We'll pick who wishes to roll it first.
I'll go first. What am I rolling?
So just roll a d6, and I have a list.
Am I egging on high or low, or...?
We will find out.
A 9.
Well done, Alex.
As you're listening to this song, do any of you want to make a sense trouble check?
I'm actively choosing not to, despite the fact that I'm really good at it.
I'm just paying attention to the play, actually.
Okay,
yeah, I don't think I'm wary for trouble anymore.
I think I probably am wary of trouble, so I probably will make a sense
always.
Trouble.
Always.
Okay.
Yeah, always on.
Okay, give it a roll.
Well, the law never sleeps.
Are you spending any points?
No, I was resting my eyes, says the law.
are you spending any points before you
roll? Yeah, go on then, I'll spend one. Why not?
Okay.
It's a Saturday. I might treat myself. Spend a point. Right. 2 + 1 = 3.
You notice a sound of a bit of a snore coming immediately behind you.
Someone's not the law.
And and you turn around and you notice that the person, I mean, we are literally within the first minute and a half or so of this play, and the person immediately behind you has fallen asleep. But you also notice the fact that they're mouthing along to all of the words on the stage.
Wake up! Go on, have you got any manners? Shove in the shoulder.
Oh, come on.
Shh. Shh.
Wake up.
Shh.
He's fallen asleep.
Shh.
Oh, come on.
Sod.
It is quite a strange thing to see, and kind of like your reaction to that does make sense. I do want you to make a stability check as well.
I'm not going to spend anything.
Yep.
Why not? 3.
Okay. Like unsettled by this, mostly by the fact that you're hushed down from your slightly rigid shaking. But the person doesn't wake at all. And despite this, the fact that even with your movement of them, they don't seem to be affected in any way and are entirely knocked out of this part, and it does really make your skin crawl, and it gets to the point where you decide that you just don't feel right holding on to this person. And you do lose 2 further points of stability.
Oh boy.
Can I use my art skill to check out the weirdness of the play?
Artistically, what you do recognise as well is that although the set design is very cheap, they've definitely spent a lot of effort in terms of concepting it. So the design of the sarcophagus is distinct, and they've clearly designed this to be as alien as possible. In fact, looking upon it becomes really strange in a way that you can't necessarily put your finger on. They've managed to capture the essence of stone, but it's almost like not of a natural stone that you'd normally find, and it's just like their skill in this is phenomenal.
Muriel freaking loves this play. She is a frustrated conceptual artist, you know? She was born too soon. And she recognises Ella, and she knows, she's thrilled to my... She loves this stuff.
What did Alex's dice roll do?
There are things that will be happening during this play, and the vagaries of which will be determined based on your own luck. And so we shall see exactly how that goes. So in fact, next I think it should be Muriel that rolls.
So 6 is a peaceful but slightly weird sleeper. I'm worried that 1 is like the roof is torn off and old god stares down at you and vomits demons in your face.
I've got a 2. Muriel's loving the play, but some stuff isn't quite right. Some
play's not loving her back.
It's going a little strangely as well. So the play itself is continuing. You're kind of engrossed in exactly what's happening, and now the woman on the stage has left and 2 other people have appeared. There's a character called Diogo, there's a character called Lucrezio.
Herbert, I'm losing track. Which one's that one?
And
that's Diogo. And the other one, I didn't catch his name.
Which one's the bad guy?
And they're talking in fairly hushed tones. It appears to be like the back room of a fairly stately home. And they're talking about who will be the new king now that the old king has died. And one of them says, well, I very much expect the monarchy will move on to Casilda. And that's the name of the person who had been singing the song before.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then he's kind of like quietly shot down the case. It's like, it's improper to name who you think it is before the mourning period has ended. We must have the masquerade before that. And it's at this point, almost exactly as the term masquerade is mentioned, that somebody sat right near the back of the theatre, and she stands, and she's got like long, flowing, very ebullient hair.
Ebullient?
And she stands there, and she's wearing fairly revealing clothing, in the fact that it appears to mostly have been like wrapped around itself. And at this section, she then starts slipping it off at one part of the back. The characters on the stage make no reference to it, but like the sheer fact that you can hear the movement means that you spot things going on. And she ends up completely, entirely disrobing, and then stepping down across the chairs. In fact, a calf goes right past your leg. And as she steps down and walks towards the back.
Steady, hang on, no.
It'll be a conceptual thing, it's probably part of it.
Yeah, well, be that as it may, the Royal Chamberlain will much disapprove of this. I'll be very surprised if this got through the censors. This is bang out of order, this should be stopped right now.
This is why you don't go to theatre with the law.
No, but this is rather, this is very improper. This shouldn't be happening.
Stop the play, stop the play. No, we'll play. No, naked ladies here. This is Blue, she's moving around. This is a clear violation of public decency laws.
Poppins, do sit down. This is part of
Look,
the art.
I will run you in as well, young lady. Don't think I won't, and there'll be no toffees for you in prison.
I think this is pretty clear. This is illegal.
Free. Conceptual art should be allowed to take place. Well, I think this is wonderful.
Art is one thing, and this is a naked lady parading her lady parts around.
What's wrong with...
What?
What is wrong with lady parts? Why must I be titillating to you?
Would you?
It's for art's sake.
Would you want your servants to watch this show? That's what I would ask you.
I am going to spend a scuffle to sit you down and shut you up.
So you get to add 1 to the roll. Now, he is harder to hit on a case of being quite athletic himself. And you kind of, you grab at him, but unfortunately... What are you? Are you in your police inspector's attire at this point?
I'm a detective inspector, so I'm plain clothes.
You're plain
clothes. What I've got is I've got my trench coat. I've taken my trench coat off, and I'm trying to put it over the lady so that the audience can't see the naked lady. It's just too shocking.
It is fairly shocking. And at this point, you're trying to grab at him, but unfortunately, your doctor's skills are much better when your patients are still. And
there's nothing easier than a dead patient, let me tell you.
Not quite necessarily that stilled, but as such, you're struggling to get a solid grasp on him. Until then, the part where you notice that she keeps walking towards you, directly towards where you're holding up this trench coat, and walks through the trench coat, almost as if like she was like sinking into a lake.
As in, she's absorbed by it and is not visible, or has she gone actually like through the
trench coat?
Has she
gone through it and out the other side? Or?
No, so she's gone into and then ends. And this is fairly visible to everyone. And again, we'll
jump out of my seat and swear loudly.
Oh no. Oh, well, I had no idea you were into the art. Oh, my goodness. I'm so impressed.
This does call for a stability check on the part of everyone.
I will spend a stability.
I'm going to spend a stability.
I think I will spend a stability, although that does put out a one stability.
Oh. But being above negative is going to be beneficial.
Seven.
Five. Okay.
Seven.
Three.
And a four for me. Uh-huh.
So you've spent one, which now means that you lose a further three.
Yeah.
Hang on,
so I started off on two, so that means I'm on...
You spent one and lose a further three, so
four. Net minus four.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Golly.
So I maintain my... I had no idea you were into theatre poppins. How long have you been rehearsing?
And like the rest
That's
of you...
That's an extraordinary effect that they have, really.
I grab the trench coat out of your hand and start looking in it like I'm going to find a woman there.
That's fantastic, honestly.
This, you weren't expecting this to happen at all in the scientist. No. The fact that your trench coat is now... become home to a random audience member who's walked clearly down through. The play itself hasn't stopped with all of this thing. It's like kind of marching on like it's clockwork. Every now and then you spot one of the person in the audience who's looking up and spotting this, but they're just continuing onwards, continuing in exactly the same way. This is weird. Utterly, utterly strange.
What given the role there, what is my reaction? What does this now look like?
You are now out of stability, essentially. You're now into the negative parts with a score of minus two in order to successfully do anything, all of your difficulties have increased by a further one.
Right.
You have been shocked by this, and the only things that really you're able to do are sit down, run away, or protect yourself against things.
It's big primal stuff.
How you choose to bring that about is up to you, but essentially this is... Nope, you're noping out of this at this point.
I'm still examining the trench coat in the idea that...
I'm perfectly happy to give him the trench coat and just sit in my chair.
Poppins, how did you get involved in the conceptual arts? You must introduce me to your friends on the scene. I'm so excited that this kind of work has been produced in London. In London!
I never knew you had it in you, Poppins, honestly.
It's extraordinary. Oh, Poppins, I'm so delighted.
I'm going to roll a sense trouble, because this is.
I'm still choosing to just go with it.
And I'm actually going to spend...
Muriel's sanity and stability are unharmed.
Yeah, I'm going to spend one on it.
Yep.
Seven.
Ooh, fantastic. Can you roll the dice again to see what,
peculiar
things happened?
A one happened.
Oh, God.
Oh, good.
That was literal.
Oh.
A god.
Oh, God.
Hello. So you...
I'm doing more things. I'm going to fold up the trench coat again, having not found any. I'm going to go downstairs, buy another scotch in the pub, and bring it back to John. And try and reassure him using my reassurance skill.
Fantastic. So this is happening.
That's actually a skill.
It's reassurance.
It is.
Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic.
Sounds like a very powerful one.
So you kind of use this as an opportunity to dash out. You notice the creeping sense of dread at the point where the scene changes and a very strange character enters the stage wearing like massive bundles of kind of like tattered yellow cloth, kind of keeping his face continually hidden away. And you notice a strange like creeping feeling at the back of your neck. And turn around, and simultaneously almost like coalescing out of the wall itself is a very similar representation of what you can see on stage.
Do all of us notice this?
If anyone else wants to make a sense trouble, depending entirely on your response to this.
Yeah, so when you say that, is it just the figure in the tattered yellow rags, or is it all the characters on the stage?
It's just the figure in the tattered yellow rags.
It's coming towards the stage?
No, it's just coming into being, and you can...
Right, okay.
You see it, like, appearing, almost as if it was creating something out of smoke.
What is it, Herbie? Use your words! Use your words! Speak clearly!
Follow my finger!
Let us know what you're saying,
Herbie! You're only going to exacerbate him, honestly.
Herbie, be clearer!
Shall I take a stability roll on that?
You do. In fact, this is the King in Yellow.
Oh.
So automatically,
bad word I can't say.
Fiddlesticks.
Funkadelic.
Flub.
If you do say the word, then the Royal Chamberlain will come in and send the podcast.
You do automatically lose 2 points of sanity and Fab. 2 points of stability.
Fab. I now have to make an additional roll to not.
You
lose
now make
more.
A roll to not lose yet further.
I will spend.
I'm out of the room.
I will spend.
I'm having a great time. This is brilliant.
Two stability, because I think that I'm probably going to lose more than two if I fail this.
Yes.
Eight.
You managed to bite down on the feeling, and the only way that you could potentially get through this is to ignore it, is to look away entirely.
Hey, look at the play!
No, yes, nothing there, sorry. A trick of the light. Mm-hmm, yes, let's sit and watch. Lovely.
God, I
this I'll just is, sit this down and what, shut up.
This is what great art should be. Everyone is reacting so strongly.
I'll just lean over.
I'm really loving this. This
and
is
pass you a little bowl and just go for the nerves. It's fine.
Just slap your hand away and be like, pay attention to the play.
Fair enough.
Do I arrive back in the room yet?
Yeah, so the play continues on through a few scenes, and this would be a farce, but the characters are very clearly being incredibly serious. This is high art.
I owe you an apology, Nora. This is
brilliant. Can I make my reassurance
roll? This is absolutely fantastic.
You don't, in fact, need to roll for this.
Oh, okay. So bring up the scotch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so reassurance is an investigative skill, so it essentially is giving you points involved in this to completely settle him, though you'd need to be able to use psychoanalysis to bring his stability back up above. So in order to bring up your stability to naught, somebody at a point where you get the chance to properly calm you down, we need to spend 8 points in psychoanalysis to bring it up to back up to zero.
Okay.
Or a couple of points will bring it above that point again.
It's talking therapy, it's all the rage.
Can I use my occult skill to learn anything more from what's going on in this interesting play?
Yeah. So firstly, what you gain from the reassurance part is this wasn't part of it. This wasn't a trick.
Yeah,
this
was I didn't even think it was for a second.
Yeah, and it's just really very certain of the fact that it shouldn't have happened and that she just stepped in at this point. But also, you're kind of able enough to bring out with your cop's instinct the statement of the fact that this person wasn't involved. This person was seemingly acting on their own. And like was acting in a way as if they'd been brainwashed. And it links also back to your memory of the fact that you had that weird deja vu just at the point when you came into the pub. Symbolically, this, like the occultism of this seems to stand distinct from a lot of other things that you've seen. The play itself appears to be very different from everything else. It seems to be following the pattern of a ritual in the way in which the structuring of the play itself also seems to be ritualistic. And you gain the creeping impression that it's such high art because not only is it putting on the simulation of a fantastic ritualistic thing, but in its performance it is becoming ritual. And by being here you're being inculcated into this. You're becoming part of this, and it's...
Oh my word, Herbie, this is so moving to me. This is exactly the kind of performance that I seek out. And really, I've always felt let down before.
Oh,
and the kind of fakery, the kind of shallowness that afflicts such art. But this is truly moving. You feel that it's warping reality.
I never knew this is what you were talking about when it was art. It's absolutely amazing.
I don't like it one bit. I think we should stop. I think the inspector had the right idea.
Oh, the Americans just don't have the stomach for it.
And how dare you, sir?
And shortly after this, there then becomes the clear climax of the first act, which is the beautiful masquerade party. And again, it kind of strays much more into farcical territory at this point.
I'm spending a lot of time watching the rest of the audience now. My hackles are very much raised.
Yeah. The audience, again, at this point, seem to be utterly enthralled. You don't notice anything odd. So there doesn't seem to be anything strange happening in terms of the audience itself. However, you do then see, still stood at the back of the room, is a somehow more real version of the tattered-robed stranger on the stage, and it is utterly peculiar, just so terrifyingly strange that you've never seen anything quite like this. You do lose 2 points of sanity and 2 points of stability straight out, and you also do need to make a stability check.
I'm going to spend a point of stability on this one.
Good plan.
Because I actually will die if I fail it, I think.
Ooh.
Four.
That is not enough. So you would lose a total of 5 from this. So the fact you've already spent 1 means that you lose a further 4.
So you're down to 0.
Which brings you right to 0.
It doesn't affect my sand, though.
No.
So, yeah, I reckon we should end it there.
With my sanity on 2 and my stability on 0.
Muriel's having a great time. Oh, my. This is really the sort of thing I've sought after my entire life. This is beautiful.
I'm starting to reevaluate a lot of life decisions watching this.
I'm starting to think those 2 are cultists.
The inspector's are sitting quietly in his chair.
Knocking
slightly.
Right, well, I think we'll end it there. And obviously, we'll be coming back for another part to this one. So, until then, we will see you there.
Bye.
Bye. Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook, tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill, or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening. I think I'll say that I commissioned Muriel to do an oil painting of myself and my happy family, and we struck up a friendship from there.
I didn't enjoy the experience of painting them.
Oh, you were supposed to know each other from childhood. Did you commission a painting from her as a child? Was it a finger painting? Is that...
Oh, from childhood.
Yeah, childhood. Child.
There can be a network.
From youth.
Also, I'm really getting... you're basically a really greasy Old Spice man. I was thinking Spice Girls for a minute, and that really threw me.
We are in many ways like the Spice Girls of the Cthulhu world. Bad, scary spice.
Greasy spice. Yeah.
Now back to me. The tickets are now diamonds, but are also covered in my grease.
Who is this person that we're here to meet?
The cousin
of the...
They've been lying low. These two that got married.
But my brother's dead.
Oh, your brother died.
He died in the war. Yes. A hero and a patriot, ma'am. And I'll thank you to remember it.
I always forget him. Don't know. It's such a tragic story. And yet every time it's like it's being told for the first time.
I really want to go out just in real life with Muriel. She's the best person ever.
Yeah. Very positive. I'm in oils. I work in oils.
Yes, well, she did drop completely off the radar. Yeah. I thought she was probably dead.
Well, that's always you, Herbert. You're so dramatic.
When you don't
honestly
receive a Christmas card for five Christmases running...
What's radar?
It was early mentioned in the Second World War. It probably would
But it was top secret.
Would not have been known about.
Oh, good point. Yeah,
a hypothetical bleep. An
acronym. You mustn't talk about your wartime work here. I mean, there's still a lot of ears around.
Surprisingly, entomology was very relevant. The buzzes and the clicks. Thoroughly used to. You gain the impression solidly that this is definitely a city. However, it's like a fab.
Fab.
Almost. Is that my thinking fab? No, not fab. It's like a twirl in the sense of the building.
Oh, the ice cream.
Yes.
Yes.
Kind of the three segments and a twirl is a twiddly.
There is also one building that
James
looks a little like a fab.
Ice cream.
I know very little about cornetto. I know a lot about ice cream. Yeah.
It's an inverted cornetto, though, which is particularly...
And then there's a Solero.
Is it one of the forest fruit Soleros? Because those are my favourite and they've stopped doing those.
Oh, they look pub, gosh.
Yeah.
We interrupt this episode of Rusty Quill's Shaun, you know. Sean has to roll stability check on hearing that they no longer make.
Genuinely upset.
Is this a bottle of water? Is this a...
Well, bottle of water is not a thing.
No.
Although, I feel like I could make that into a really viable business model very quickly.
That's another of your harebrained schemes, Julie. Bottled water? Why would anyone ever want water from a bottle?
How exactly are we going to recover if we don't have an entrepreneurial spirit?
It comes out of the tap. Like, that's ridiculous. No one would pay for something that comes more or less freely out of a tap. What sort of idiot would do that?
I can't even
begin to conceive of the kind of subhuman moron, the kind of mercury-huffing imbecile... that would consider that either a viable product that you would want to consume or a viable thing that you would market. What kind of sick, deluded mind would encounter that in any sort of process and think it in any way valid or viable?
Well, I think...
I would find that person, I would punch them until they were dead.
To test me, Spectre, taking it after maybe the Brighton water, you could even sell it as a health product and say you put multivitamins in there.
In Brighton, the only water is the sea, and if you drink...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
That, you're an idiot.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out wobegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.